it's God Almighty as a judge upon his throne. Holiness is all around him as he judges sin and wrong. Satan is the
Ghost of God and exactly what the power of the Holy Ghost of God is for, and how to have the power of the Holy Ghost of God, and why we need the power of the Holy Ghost of God. And I preached on that for, oh, I don't know how many weeks I taught on that. At the same time, on Sunday morning, I've been doing a series on, I started out preaching on repentance, and I started preaching on why repentance is essential for salvation, that in order to be born again, a man has got to respond to the, or a woman has got to respond to the conviction of the Holy Ghost. There's no just some magic words you can say, something you can read off the back of a tract, just pray some words and get saved. There has to be some conviction there. The Holy Ghost of God is the one that does the work of salvation in our soul. It's not us. We don't manufacture salvation. You can't get saved just because you decided you want to get saved one. Oh, I'll put that off and do that next week. Next week you get saved. The Holy Ghost of God has got to be working. And I preached on that. And after that, I preached a series on the straight gate and the narrow way. And I'm burdened. I'm very burdened about what I see when I look at Christianity today. I mean, it's just so watered down, so weak, so anemic, so helpless. You know, it's not what Christ intended for it to be. It's not what it used to be. And I believe we're in the age of apostasy, full-fledged apostasy. I certainly believe that what passes off for church in most places is more than a show and entertainment or business or a lot of different things, but it's not what God intended for it to be. And I'm not saying that to elevate myself in any way and say, hey, I've got it all figured out and we're doing everything perfect here, because I know better than that. I know myself well enough to know that I'm not, God's not done with me. I'm not finished. God's still got a lot of shaping to do on me. Amen? I've got enough knots and warts for the rest of my life Him working on me. But I do know this, I have a desire for God. I have an insatiable desire to be what God wants to be. And it's that desire, that hunger that motivates me. It's my love for Him that motivates me. I want to walk within that narrow way. I want to walk with Him all that way. I want to do right. I want to do it in His strength, in His power. I communicated to you last Sunday night. If you weren't here last Sunday night, you missed that. I really poured my heart out to the church. And I really laid my heart out just right out in front of everybody. And I told everybody how broken and how burdened I am, and how I've been through a long, long valley. I mean, it started back in 2009, and it's lasted all this time. I've never seemed to get back. In the summer of 2009, I was very, very close to the Lord, deep in my Bible. I was reading the book, The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer, and after that I read his book on Reclaiming Christianity, and man, I just got so burdened, so hungry for God's presence and God's power, and it just overwhelmed me, and I mean, Satan, he just absolutely dropped an A-bomb on me, and I'm telling you, recovery since then, it's been gradual, it's been good, but I'm not yet back spiritually where I was, and I won't get back and go even higher than that. I'm hungry for that. You understand? As a Christian, and I can't speak for you, I don't know how it is with you, but I can tell you as a Christian, if you are truly born again and walk blood of the Lamb, if you're a child of God, names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there ought to be a hunger, a craving for your Father. Amen? Listen, we're not children who has some alcoholic father who beats them and is cruel to them. I grew up with one like that, an earthly father. I had a cruel dad, a cruel, mean, he was when he was drinking, who was... You know what? I still even wanted to be around him because he was my dad. And I look at myself spiritually sometimes and how cold and how backslidden I get. And I say to myself, what has my Heavenly Father ever been but good to me? And he doesn't want any harm from me. Matter of fact, he wants to bless me, and he wants to bless me in every way. And sure, I'm going to have some trials and tribulations as I serve him, but he wants to bless. So why in the world, what's wrong with me? And so we did that series on the narrow way, and we're still in it. It probably doesn't apply exactly, but as we're coming up on revival, I realize this morning's going to be the last sermon I get to preach before revival meeting to the whole church. I know how it is on Sunday night. A lot of people don't come back on Sunday night. So tonight, we're going to just have a singing. We haven't done that in years, and I just felt the Lord wants us to just do that. We just want to sing to the Lord tonight. And I can't guarantee I won't say anything because I don't think I can get up here and say anything. But I do my best to kind of keep that at a minimum, and we'll do the singing as a maximum. But anyway, Lord led me on this morning. So we're going to read Jeremiah chapter 18. That's a long introduction, wasn't it? Jeremiah chapter 18 and verses 1 through 6. And I know some of our folks are scared to death. I take long enough with the message. The introduction was very long. Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6, the Bible says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And so he made again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this time we have gathered together in this place. Father, we praise you, Lord, everyone that's here. Lord, I pray you'd speak to every heart this morning. Lord God, I pray your presence felt here, Lord, that you move amongst us. And Lord, touch each and every life, Father. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Ghost of God do a heavenly work in each heart. Lord, I pray that you reach into the far corners and the recesses of our heart and our soul. And Lord, I pray the Holy Ghost of God turn the spotlight on us. Show us, Lord, the areas of our life that are unyielded. Show us the place in our life, Lord, we've kept secret from everyone else, Lord, that only you can see. Father, I pray that you'd make us uncomfortable in our sin. Lord, that you'd make us uncomfortable in our complacency and our indifference and our laziness. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, that you pry us up from staleness. God, that you give us a hunger by our soul for thee. Lord, that you draw us, Lord. Those maybe somebody here this morning that's lost in sin, Lord, that you draw to the cross of Calvary in repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that you do a work in our hearts. Oh, God, please, we pray. Lord, I pray you'd help this preacher this morning. Lord, I'm helpless without you, Lord. I need a filling in the fullness of the Holy Ghost of God. Guide every thought that I have, every word that I speak, Lord. Take control of me and use me for Christ's sake this morning, I plead. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I realize this passage is from Jeremiah. I realize it was written to Israel. But I want to tell you this morning that things are all written for examples for us. They're written for our edification. I believe the Lord would help us to learn a lesson from this. I believe they're all through the Bible. There are references to potter and clay. And we certainly have that song in our songbook gives reference to that. And I want to look at the various things that Jeremiah saw this morning when he went down to the potter's house. The Lord, and I want to tell you that chapter 17, if you take time and read it, you'll see that Israel was very sinful. Israel had turned from God, had become very wicked and cold, had become very idolatrous. And God's showing Jeremiah something. And I believe it applies to a Christian today, that even though we may have gotten cold, even though we may have gotten stale in our Christianity, even though we may have backslidden, and Lord knows sometimes we even feel a deadness spiritually, even though we're alive in Christ, we can get the point because of our own indifference, our own trying to do things our way. It's natural, it's fleshly, it's sinful. full yet, but it does happen in the life of a Christian that we do from time to time take matters in our own hands. We listen to the garbage of this world, and we sometimes take back authority that belongs to God, and we find ourselves, just like every child that's ever had a parent has done, in trouble with our father. We find ourselves lost the communication a lot because we have guilt between us. And sadly, a child and a parent, it doesn't really last very long because the close proximity of the child and the parent, but the case is with the Christian and our Heavenly Father, oftentimes we run for quite some time. But I want to tell you something this morning. God will do something in your life if you allow Him to. I want to tell you this morning, God's never going to stop. If you are a child of God, you'll always be a child of God. I thank God. I could share with you my testimony this morning, but I don't think we have time for that and the message. But I can give you a quick synopsis and tell you that I ran from God. As a child, I mean, I'm saved. I was saved as saved can be. But yet, I got saved as a young child, and I got in a teenage year, and I had peer pressure and influence all over me, all around me, and I yielded to that peer pressure. I yielded to those negative influences, and because of it, I got myself in a sinful place, and in shame, I ran from God rather than let Him deal with me. I ran from God for so many years, and God finally had to come and take me out behind the woodshed and let me know that He could get me out of this world. My daddy used to tell me, many of y'all heard old Bill Cosby saying, I brought you to this world so I could take you out to another that looked just like you. Amen. That's what my daddy used to tell me. Amen. And he said, boy, I'll take you to death and show you the other side. I mean, he was serious about it. He intended for me to get scared. And I want to tell you, when God holds me, it scared the living daylights out of me. I'm telling you, He took me to the edge, and He said, how did He tell you? He told me in my heart, you've got a choice. You're either going to serve me, you're going to give what belongs to me, or I'm going to take what belongs to me out of this world. That's called an ultimatum. God gave me one of those. There's a reason why I serve Him, amen. I fear the Lord. I love Him, but I fear Him. Amen. I didn't ever have a holy, healthy fear in my life of God until God wrung my neck real good. Until God spanked the living daylight out of me. And He put a fear in me, amen. Now, having said all that, let's get into the message this morning. The Bible says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. And then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on wheels. Now, the first thing that I know that he saw when he got down there, he went and he found the potter. And I know that many of you, y'all have heard a message on this subject before. Okay, most of you have. I think most of you, if I ask you, who does the potter represent in this story? The potter represents God. We sung that song enough, and we'll probably sing for invitation. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. He's the potter. He's the one who formed us. Amen. Isaiah 64 and verse 8, the Bible says, but now, Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. I think sometimes we forget. I think sometimes we get to thinking we are our own. I don't know where you're at in your spiritual life. I'm preaching to a whole bunch of different people here this morning, and everybody's in a different place. Maybe you're real close to the Lord this morning, or maybe you're a million miles away from God. I've seen church and been long way from God. I know some of them here are coming back from having been away from God. But I want you to know something this morning. You're His. Amen. You're His creation. We've done all this and talking about the universe and everything, and I'll tell you something. It has just got me so aware of my being a creation of God, and all that God has created, and I'm in awe of it. David said, "When I consider the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, I can't remember." He said, "He was man that thou art mindful of him." David, I'm sure he was up on the rooftop of that castle, or maybe he was when he was out in the field tending the sheep, but he saw all the stars of heaven, and he sat, meditated on it, and he thought about it, and said, "Wow, he made all that. Why does he ever think about me?" I want you to know something. God's intimately interested in you. God cares about every detail of your life. The Bible says, "For your very hairs are numbered." Amen. He knows everything about you. He knows how many cells make up your body. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows everything about everything, and He cares about His creation. And yet man forgets God. Man goes on about his own little life and gets so caught up in television shows and sports teams and just minutia of life, stuff that don't even matter. And we have such a big deal out of stuff that doesn't really even matter. And we don't make a big deal out of our God. We get mad when God can do our bidding. Things don't go the way we want to. Don't work out like we wanted them to. The way we wanted it. Not the way God wanted. The way we wanted it. And we get upset with God and say, "I don't understand how God wouldn't give me what I wanted." It's as if God were some spiritual Santa Claus up in the clouds. Isaiah 45, verse 9 says, "Woe unto him that striveth his maker." Woe unto him. "Let the potsherd strive the potsherd of the earth." That means the broken pieces of pottery. Let him strive with the other broken pieces of pottery. "Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Why don't you make me like this? God, why don't you put me in this situation? Why don't you let this happen to me?" He said, "Shall we do that?" Let's not forget that you put yourself here. You didn't make you. You didn't put yourself where you were born. You didn't choose your parents. You didn't choose what country you lived in. You didn't choose what color your skin was, what color your hair would be, what color your eyes would be, whether you'd be male or female. You didn't choose any of that. You didn't have no choice in the matter. God made you. Your fingerprints are not like any other set of fingerprints in this room, nay, in the world. You're unique, and more unique than a snowflake. God made you because He wanted you that way. Amen. You are as individual as a I tell you this. I've seen potters at work. How many of y'all ever seen a potter at work? You know, art fair, craft fair. Well, y'all need to get more, I tell you. Y'all sit around the house too much. But I've been to some craft fairs. Matter of fact, when I was a kid, my grandparents used to take us on vacation quite a bit. I don't know how they afforded it. It was four of us, two boys, two girls. But my grandpa, he's a old car salesman. I guess he'd done pretty good. He'd take them. We went to Branson, Missouri a lot. I love Branson, Missouri. I love Ozarks and up in that part of the country. There's so much you can see God's people are not ashamed to talk about God, not afraid to display the fact they love the Lord. It's everywhere up there. I know a lot of country music, a lot of show business, garb and all the junk, but there's a lot of, you can see that there's people that love the Lord. And I guess me being part of hillbilly, I kind of enjoy that kind of hillbilly culture anyway. It's bred into me. But, and God put me in that too, by the way. Amen. And I'm proud of it. I'm thankful He did. Amen. But I've been to those places and seen potters sitting there working. And they make certain little things out of pottery. Last one I saw, a woman was making, I want to say it was like a pie dish, a pie cover, you know what I'm saying? The pie, and then they put the cover on top of it. She was making a look like a little tea kettle. And I know they make those all day long. But I can tell you, they make those all day long. Ain't two of them alike. Amen? Not two of them exactly alike. I guarantee you, they may within millimeters, but they're not all perfectly alike. God made us different. God fed us with different characteristics. Amen? Shall the clay say to him that fashioned, what makest thou? He's the potter. We need to remember that we're not the maker, he's the maker. We don't set rules, he does. Isaiah 29:16. Shall your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay? For shall the work say of him that made it, he made not? Or shall this thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? God is perfect in his doings. God did it right. He made you the way. Listen, you messed up, that's your fault. And that's what we're talking about here this morning. He saw the potter. He saw the potter there with his hands upon the clay. The potter was constantly at work. God wanted Jeremiah to see this picture of him fashioning man. And here sits the potter, his hands dipped in water upon the clay. Second thing that I think Jeremiah noticed, and I'm taking a little bit of liberty with this, a little bit of license, but I think it's within the parameters of Scripture. He saw the wheel. Because I think that probably be the second place your eyes would go as you saw the potter. Then you would see what the potter's doing. The potter's got a wheel in front of him, and the wheel's turning. It's a big stone wheel, and it's rotating. And by the way, Jeremiah, well, they wouldn't have had no electric motor back in Jeremiah's day. It would have been a very primitive wheel. But anyway, a wheel nonetheless, and he's watching this wheel turning. And what does the wheel represent? I tell you what the wheel represents. The wheel represents the circumstances of life that are constantly in motion, day and night. Change after change after change after change after change. I remember being a child. When I was a child, I used to think a lot about what it would be like when I was growing. I used to really think about that. I don't know if y'all did or not. Maybe I'm just weird. But I used to imagine what my life would be like. I used to imagine being married. I used to imagine having kids. I used to think about where I would live and what I would do for a living. I used to do a lot of that daydreaming, thinking about things like that. But you know what? None of it worked out like I thought it would. Amen. None of it worked out exactly like I thought it was going to. And I can guarantee you, none of it worked out for you exactly like you thought it was going to either. Because you weren't in charge of it. You weren't in charge of it. This is not your world. Even though sometimes we try to make it our world, it's not our world. Amen? The Bible tells us, ye are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Amen, and your spirit, which are God. You belong to him. This is his world, and these are his circumstances that he's turning around and around and around and around. And it is those circumstances of life that turn us within the hands of the potter. Amen. You say, what about the hands? Well, the book Jesus said in John 10:28, he said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I'm in the potter's hands. Amen. The Mark Quartet, I got a song they sang. It's on one of their older CDs, and it says, the potter's wheel keeps on turning, and I'm in the potter's hand. I love that song. Amen. I'm in his hand. His hand is on my life. And the circumstances of my life turn and turn and turn and turn. Let me read you something. I know you know these verses. Romans 8, 28 and 29. Some of you could quote it. And we know. Not hope, or we think, or we feel like, or we expect, but we know. All things, good and bad, happy and sad, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, not our purpose, His purpose. Amen. Because God had a plan, because He's the potter. He has a plan. He's the potter. When He sat down at the wheel, He didn't just sit down and start wishing clay. He had a plan. He knows what He's making before He made it. Y'all know that, don't you? Potter has you in His hand. He's in control of it, amen? And he's not gonna just sit down and start flinging clay everywhere. He's a skilled craftsman. I remember sitting and watching that lake there in Branson. It was the last time I watched that one work on them things. I was amazed what skills she possessed. And she'd put her fingers in that water and apply her pressure. And that thing was turning and turning and turning. And that thing began to move and form. It was almost, I don't believe magic, but it was just amazing. How the thing began to shake within her hands. It changed into something beautiful for poor my eyes. And all it was going round, round, and round her fingers on some clay. She made beautiful things just with a circular motion, some water, and some pressure. All things work together for good. So you don't know what I'm going through. I don't, but I'm the one that does. And he said, hey, listen, if you're a child of God, you're in His hands, and what you're going through right now is not going to destroy you. It is working for your good, whether you feel it or know it or not. God doesn't make mistakes. If you're a child of God, listen to me, you are called according to His purpose. And maybe you don't know what His purpose for you is yet. And maybe, listen to me, maybe you're resisting His purpose. Maybe that's why you're having such a struggle. It's because you're resisting being conformed into what He wants you to be. Because I'm going to read the rest of it. The Bible says, for whom He before know. In other words, He already had this plan for you to be conformed. He already knew what He wanted you to be. Amen. For whom He did foreknow. That means He had prior knowledge, way back yonder, before the foundations of the earth were ever laid. He also did predestinate. That's not a scary word. Just simply means He planned. He did predestinate to be conformed. There's the hands and the pressure. What's His plan? The image of His Son. That's what He wants us to be, and that's what He's molding us into. The image of His Son. He wants to make us like Christ. He wants to make us reflect the image of Jesus. He wants to make a vessel that looks like Jesus before the world. That's what He's making us into. Why? So that it might be used for His purpose. But so what's He going to fill us with? He's going to fill us with a gospel. Look at the purpose. Here it is. He says, so that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So what's God going to do? He's going to fill this vessel. He's going to fill it with the gospel. He's going to take it and pour it out to somebody that needs to hear the gospel. So that others can be born again. And so that He can fashion them on His wheel to the image of Jesus so that He can fill them with the gospel and pour that to somebody else that the gospel perpetuated down through ages. Isn't that awesome? We have an awesome God. And then I see something else. I see the treadle. What's a treadle? How many of y'all know what a treadle is? Y'all are getting smarter by the hour. Right here, or by the Y'all seen old-timey sewing machines? Grandma used to have. Mama used to have one. I believe it belonged to my great-grandma. But sit there and work that treadle on that sewing machine, that needle go up and down. It was just a primitive form before the electric motor. That's exactly what drove that wheel that Potter was using. He drove the speed of the wheel. And again, that's just a part circumstance of life. God controls the ups and downs. God controls the ebb and flow. God controls what you can handle and what you can't handle. Understand that. It's not up to you. Understand the clay does not help Potter mold it. Quit. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm saying get out of God's way. Quit trying to help God make you into what he wants you to be. Quit trying to live the Christian life apart from God. I said the other day, and I said, you know, it pains me every time I hear myself say this. Well, Gerald, I say this a lot when I'm talking. I say, you know, ask God to help you this and that. And I need to quit saying that because I don't need to ask God to help me do anything. I need to ask God to do it. And I need to ask God to remove me out the way while he does it. Because I can't help God. God needs my help anyway. God doesn't want my help. God wants all the credit. Full credit, full glory. He don't want me to share what he's doing in my life. He wants the glory. I have never, ever seen somebody make something out of pottery, and I can imagine going up to them and, that is a beautiful vase. And the potter say, yeah, well, the clay worked real hard with me. Well, the clay really, it worked good in forming itself. Oh! Potter's going to say, well, thank you very much. I worked hard on that one. I had a scripture, but I'm going to skip it. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to come to the last point. The last thing Jeremiah noticed. And by the way, I was going to preach on humility this morning, but I think I'm kind of covering that in this. Jeremiah saw clay. He saw clay. And I'm mindful of a lot of things, but we're the clay. I'm mindful of a passage of Scripture, but I only read a couple this morning. Psalm 40 and verse 2. David said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Out of miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. I know he's talking about Jesus. But you could also look at it like this. He took me out of the common lump, and he took me and he set me upon his wheel, and he started the motion. He took me up out of miry clay and set me upon a rock. And established my going. Amen. Get out of your head that you're so special. Preacher, you're trying to knock me down. I've got a pen in my ego. Well, probably could use it. The Bible says, you know, if you'll humble yourself, he'll lift you up. If you lift yourself up, he'll humble you. Amen. You've got to learn how to make yourself of no importance. Make him of all importance. Make others of importance and yourself little important. It's the only way God's ever do anything with you. God will not take something that's halfway finished itself. And then finish it. You understand? God will not take something that's hardened and use it. He takes pliable, malleable stuff. He takes clay. Clay is fashionable. You can make anything out of clay. When I was a kid, I went to a Christian school, and I made a clay turtle. I'll never forget that. The first place I was around myself. I did it with a toothpick. If fashion. It was too big. You know, God just take it. It was a lot of clay, and then all of a sudden there was a turtle sitting there. It was amazing how you could do that. And God take you and make you into something. You won't do it. We look in the mirror and we say, I ain't no way God can ever do anything to me. I know, man, I could never do what they do. I could never talk like they talk. I could never be as nice as them. I could never be as generous as he is. I could never witness like she does. I could never do that. I just couldn't. You're right. You can't. But you know what? There's a potter who can make you into whatever he wants you to make you into. And he's able. He's never failed. Can I say to you something? The reason why you have not yet been made into what God wants to make you into is because you have unyielding areas in your life. You see, the potter never removes his hand from the clay. The wheel of life keeps turning. The circumstances of life keep happening. He's shaping, he's molding. He has a plan. He's not going to need. Listen, he is not going to deviate from his plan. He which hath begun a good work in you, how's it go? Reform it until the day of Christ. Amen. Until he takes you home, until he redeems you, until he gets you out of this world. I know I didn't quote perfectly. Forgive me. Y'all look it up and tell me how it goes exactly. Until the day of the Lord Jesus. He's done a good work in you. He will perform it. He's not going to take his hands off of you. And the wheel keeps turning. And the trail keeps pumping. Circumstances of life keep round and round. And the potter keeps putting pressure on the clay to shape it and mold it into what he wants it to be. And yet, you and I have unyielding areas in our life. We have those hard places, those stubborn places, those areas of sin that we don't want to give up and we don't want to turn loose of. And hand keeps bumping to that. Every time it goes around, it keeps bumping to that. And guess what happens? We get more warped and out of shape and more warped and out of shape until we just fold up on the wheel. Fall apart. Anybody here been like that? Where you just fought and fought and fought until you just collapsed in on yourself? Man, I think I have too. More than once. Maybe more than twice. I'll tell you how many times, but it's happened. You know what's great about God? So he made it yet again another vessel, as it seemed to the potter to make it. I really feel like if I hadn't ran for those 20 years, God probably could have made into something much sooner than he did. Not God probably had a plan. I honestly feel like I was probably called to preach my life. Amen? I mean, he had a plan before the foundation of the world. Surely he had me called to preach way before I ever knew I was called to preach. Wouldn't y'all agree with that? But I had rebelled, and I had peer pressure. I had all these people around me trying to get me to rock and roll and try to get me to do this and do that. I mean, I had a lot of pressure, and I caved to that pressure, and so I just folded up in his hand. God, and I just sat there, folded up on the wheel, and God's hand around me the whole time until I stopped being unyielding. And God, I believe that night in February of 96, God looked down at the clay and said, I'm about to remove you from the wheel unless you're going to let me work with you. At that time, I softened up and yielded myself. He began to mold me to the image of Christ. No, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. But I'm yielding to him. And see, you'll simply stop resisting and let yield yourself to Him. He will take, listen to me, He will find the hard places in you, and He will remove them and set them aside, get them out of your life. I mean, the sticks, the rocks, the pieces of trash that have accumulated in your life. That, listen, that won't make a good vessel because it'll crack later on. As it hardens with that junk and trash in there, it will never be sound until it's completely removed all those things. And so it's a constant removing of things. It's a constant freeing of trash in our life. And that's why, I'm going to tell you, that's why there's an altar in an old church building. That's why there's a place for you to come and throw yourself down before God and say, Lord, Lord, take this from my life. I don't want it here. I know it stands between you and I know you can't continue to make me into what you want me to be as long as it's in my life. You say, well, you don't know what I've been through. Yeah, well, all of us. But where are you at on me right now? Is He making? Is He in the process? Well, by all means, don't stiffen up on Him. By all means, stay yielded. Are you folded and broken? By all means, let Him begin His work again in you. Are you not even on the wheel? By all means, let God separate you from the common lump and place you on His wheel. Trust Jesus as your Savior. Be born again. And by the way, throw in just for good measure, you've got to go through the cone too. That's the trials and tribulations of life. Amen. The fires of tribulation, the heat, the pressure. But it only makes you more like Christ. It only solidifies what God's doing in your life. Don't resist Him. He is the potter. He knows what He's doing. Let Him have His way in your life. Let's stand together. Father, Heaven, Lord, we love You, and we thank You for the message this morning. I pray, Lord, that you work in the heart of people. Father, you know what You're doing. And I don't dare try to get it in Your way. Oh, Father, there are folks here this morning that need You so desperately, and I pray, Father, for You to work in their life. Oh, God, I pray, Father, there'd be somebody here this morning, Lord, that You're dealing with. But stacked in stones for you and me.